of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Today is the third feast of the Savior in August, and I won't be talking much about that, but it is dedicated, the second reading was dedicated to the icon, not made by hands, when Jesus pressed his face to that holy napkin, and eventually it made its way and healed King Abgar. Eventually this relic that was handed down in the early church was brought to Constantinople, and today is the feast day of that. However, yesterday we celebrated the Feast of Dormition, and it was on a weekday or weekend, and I think it would be better to discuss and talk about that. We all need a mother figure. And when I say this, I don't want you to be confused, because of course, not every earthly mother has been the best. And we know all sorts of tragic stories about earthly mothers not quite adding up to their calling. But a mother and a father are needed in a family. The mother is there ultimately to provide nurturing, encouragement. In my family, there's just a different, there's different approach. My child, who doesn't like to be singled out in sermons anymore, probably goes to her mother for certain things and goes to me for other things. For instance, when she stubs her toe or cuts herself, she's less likely to go to me. And there's a reason for that. Probably because I'm sarcastic and I'll laugh. But her mother tends to it in a loving and very tender way. And it's been that way. And my wife didn't have to be trained to do that. She came by it naturally, because for 9 months she carried that child within her womb. And then she actually immediately turned into mother bear the minute she was with child. And so we see that there's something natural that happens with many women. There's a difference between the nurturing that a father provides and the nurturing of a mother. When we talk about the spiritual life, and we so often pray to our Lord and pray to the Father and ask for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we should always do those things. God is also nurturing to us. He loves us intensely. He wants to be close to us, and He pursues us. Much like the father and the prodigal son, even when we're misbehaving, so to speak, God is pursuing us and running after us, and He wants us to return to Him. We often unfortunately, have an image, somewhat like the image of the priest, which is that God is the divine police officer, and He's just waiting to bust you. I've called some people and talked to some people, and over the years, not recently, but over the years, I'll walk in and I'll just start having a conversation with someone I hadn't seen in a while in church, and the first thing they want to tell me is, "Oh, Father, I haven't been at church because I am the police officer." And I assume that God is, because in some ways the priest is an icon of Christ, an icon of God, that God is the divine police officer. He's just waiting to bust you. And He's going to put you in jail, and He's going to send you away. He's the bad cop. There's no question about it. Many people act like this. This is just how they pray in their lives. But that's not true. In reality, God is loving, and He runs out to us, and He pursues us. And so we should always be pursuing Christ. However, there is nothing antagonistic about pursuing the Mother of God as well and asking for her prayers. When my daughter hurts herself, if she runs to her mother for nurture, I'm not offended. I'm not offended. Because in so many ways, my wife is part of the family system. And I know what she gets from my wife. It's the same when we talk about Jesus and His mother, or God the Father and the Mother of God, the Queen of Heaven. It isn't as though something is taken away from Jesus Christ if we ask for the Mother of God's intercessions. It's not as though we're slighting the Father to ask for the Panagia to say a prayer for us and to intercede before us. Ultimately, we're asking for her to pray and send grace from her Son and the Father either way. They're always involved. And so this is something that in many ways, that I mentioned in the sermon yesterday, needs to be recovered specifically in a convert culture that we have in America. I was trained, and I've argued with people, and I've discussed with people, to believe that if I asked for the prayers of the Mother of God, that somehow I was slighting Jesus, that somehow I was denying God. And what it did oftentimes, though, is it left me with only Jesus and only God to pray to, which in one sense you would say was fine. But in another sense, our faith has so much more holistic and so much more dynamic. There are, and part of that diamondism is that we all relate to our mothers different than we relate to our fathers. And that the Mother of God can be a nurturing figure in our life. Where we may not experience nurturing from our own mothers, she may be a nurturing figure. As we see in our iconography, she always points to the Son. She always, in some ways, is bringing us closer to Jesus. Now, theologically, the Feast of the Dormition, we would teach you that on the Feast of Dormition, that the Mother of God dies, the disciples, apostles are drawn from the ends of the earth, and that they are there with her. Why are they there with her? If we took the New Testament example of how much is written about Mary, we would assume that the disciples would not, certainly not, be at her death or her funeral. Why would they be? You know, she's just, as many Protestants have said, she's just woman. I mean, who cares? Jesus doesn't even, he wants you to be, you know, they use those passages where he says woman as though it's an insult against her. But John, Jesus from the cross entrusts her to John, says, behold your mother, behold your Son. So the disciples have love for her because she supported them, because she nurtured them in the early church, because they made a connection with her at Pentecost, and her prayers, and her life, and her closeness to Christ. They experienced the reality of that while she was alive. And that is why ultimately they get called from the ends of the earth to attend her funeral, to be with her as she dies and to bury her. Theologically, as I mentioned, the teaching is that she died. And that later Thomas comes to find and see, he wants to see her death for himself. He's late as usual. But that she has already ascended in the flesh into heaven. So yes, we teach this ascension. And theologically, we would say that she is somewhat what we're going to be. That eventually, when we go to the kingdom of heaven, and at the last day, when everyone is raised up, we'll be reunited with our souls, and we'll be in the presence of God, with our souls and our bodies, like Jesus Christ, who has a body, like the Virgin Mary, who also has a body in the kingdom of heaven, a deified body. But that's all theology. And that is a good thing for you to know. What is more important to know is that you have someone in your corner. Someone who prays for you. Someone who loves for you. Loves you. A mother figure. A mother figure who intensely cares for you, regardless of how your earthly mother treated you, and who wants your success. And furthermore, it's good to know that you have a great crowd of witnesses who watches you, who prays for you, who wants the best for you. I mean, the entire universe is looking out for Christians and in some way is seeking to enable them to fulfill their ministry and to fulfill their vocation to grow closer to Christ. And all our part is in it is that we occasionally, when we're in pain, when we're broken, when we're depressed, that we simply go to them and ask for their intercessions and their prayers, as well as asking for our Lord to heal us. Again, it's not an either or, it's a both and. So, as we continue on through this after feast, may our Lord Jesus Christ bless us. May his mother pray for us and our community and each one of us. May we experience and come to experience God's divine love. And then more than that, by extension of God's divine love, the love of the mother and the love of the friends of Christ who so diligently pray and seek the salvation of our souls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.